Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Congressman Steve Shabbat is with us, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad he's here, too. He is the U.S. Congressman from the great state of Ohio, the 1st District, which I believe is the right there in the southern part of the state near all around the Cincinnati area, which is a great city. He's also the ranking member on the Small Business Committee in the House, and he's a great American and a huge, steadfast friend of small business. Congressman Shabbat, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's great to be with you. And you mentioned we're going to talk about small business. Before we do that, I just wanted to follow up on what you just said a few minutes ago about Father's Day and wish you and all the other fathers out there a happy Father's Day this coming Sunday. And I know that's it's one of my favorite days because my children and my family and my wife are most important things to me, just like they are to you. And I know that fathers all over America can't wait to add another tie to their collection this Sunday.
that's exactly right. No, I'd just be happy if my kids would buy a meal for me. I keep having to buy all the time. I'd just be happy if they just buy me a hamburger or something. I don't need a tie, but anyway. No, I tell you. Thank you for that, and, sure. And happy Father's Day to you, too.
Thank you.
Now, remind me, you got 4 children?
No, just 2, actually.
2? Okay,
I couldn't remember. Daughter. My daughter just got married last fall, and our son will be a senior in high school this year. So,
all right.
We've been blessed with both a son and a daughter and couldn't be happier.
Well, you haven't done that grandfather thing yet then, have you?
Not yet, no.
Well, I've got 3, and I'm out of control, Congressman.
Oh, wow. Yeah, well, that's adding to the economy and the small businesses across the country, so that's
great. Exactly right. Well, happy Father's Day to you, too, and I'm glad to thank you for joining us today and to talk about small business. You know, Congressman, one of the things I'd like for you to do for us is to talk to us about the impact on small business of the immigration bill that's being debated right now. And by the way, I wanted to say to you that I've been pointing out to my audience this debate that's been going on, this back and forth with the immigration bill. I don't see that as a failure. I see that as a great Democratic success.
Well,
if the document's not what we need, if there are people who have questions, the debate, the thing back and forth, all the checks and balances, that's what makes democracy this Democratic Republic so great, I think.
Well, I think that's exactly right. And as long as the end product is one that the American people agree with and support, and it's good for this country, I think the debate is good. Now, I think what oftentimes happens is we don't differentiate enough between legal immigration and illegal immigration, and legal immigration has been and can be very good for the country. It's the illegal immigration that we've seen far too much nowadays that I think people, including myself, object to so much, and that's why I think that we need to make sure that we have security at our borders first. I think the American people want no part of amnesty at all, whatever we call
it. Is that how you feel about this bill? Do you feel like it's an amnesty bill?
I'm concerned that it is, yes.
And how do you define amnesty?
Well, I would say that amnesty essentially is allowing people to come here illegally and benefit from it.
How does this bill do that?
Well, the people that have come here, and we think we have somewhere between 12 and maybe as many as 20 million people here illegally, after they go through the process, the vast majority ultimately would be able to become citizens and cut in front of the line of those that came here trying to do it the
right way. According to the new bill, they would come out of the shadows, they'd pay a fine, and they would be able to stay in the country. We wouldn't have to go back home and start over again. They'd be able to stay here and start the citizen process?
Well, in essence, what's going to happen, and we don't know because the bill is being amended, and it has to go through the Senate, and then we'd have to go through the House, and then depending on what the president did, could come back and be renegotiated. Mm-hmm. The bill as it exists right now requires one family member at some point to go back for a relatively short period of time, but then they're guaranteed that they could come back. So to me, that's not a great amount of protection, quite frankly. And I really think that, in my view, it's we ought to have security of our borders. And then I think the American people, I think we can come together and determine what the next steps will be. But until we really have security at our borders, I'm just not convinced that the American people are going to support this plan, and I think they're right in opposing it.
What do you think should happen? How would you write the bill?
Well, I would get, again, security at the border first, which is what the House passed last year. We talked about building a fence, a virtual fence in some places, a real fence in other places. Using technology, much of it a true fence in populated areas. And actually secure the border and have sufficient border security, be serious about that. And then I think we go to the next steps is what do we do with the folks that are here. But to basically go to that step, I think it puts us back to where we were back in 86. To this bill, in my view, goes back to 86 when they said they were going to do two things. They were going to allow these folks to have amnesty. There were about 2 million at that time. Mm-hmm. And they were going to do border security, and they really meant it this time. This is back in 86. Well, they did the one thing. They allowed the 2 million people here to stay. They gave them amnesty. But they never did the border security or fencing or anything like that.
Right.
So, in essence, that the message went out that these folks got to cut in front of the line and got to stay and become citizens. So now instead of 2 million people here illegally, we have 12 million people here illegally.
Which is over the last 20 years, that's how it's grown.
Yeah, that's right. And my concern is that this bill as it currently exists would encourage more of that behavior. People saw that these people, you basically rewarded bad behavior.
Is it reasonable, Congressman, though, to believe that we could round up 12 to 20 million people and send them all back? I mean, how's that going
to
work?
Well, to me, that's sort of, again, putting the cart before the horse. I think that once we have security at the borders, which we don't have now, mm-hmm. then I think we can have that conversation, that dialogue, all of us, and make a determination and I think do what makes sense for this country.
So you don't even want to do anything with the people who are already here until we stop the bleeding, so to speak.
Stop the bleeding and then determine what we're going to do with the folks here.
Now, is this a 1-2 step, though? Is that what you're saying? Let's do one thing first, and then
exactly.
We'll do the second thing?
Yes, exactly. And we haven't done the first step yet, and that's the problem. The American people don't trust Congress, and they don't trust the president to take that first step. They think we're going to the second step first, which is basically allowing these people that came here illegally to stay.
Congressman Shabbat, what is your website, please?
It's www.house.gov/Shabbat, Chabot.
Right. Congressman Steve Shabbat, ladies and gentlemen, he and I will be right back after these messages. When we come back, I'm going to ask him what this bill, if passed, would mean for small business. There may be some onerous stuff in there that you and I aren't going to like. 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Happy Father's Day.
Do it no matter what the people say.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, a proud dad wishing you a happy Father's Day. Congressman Shabbat is our guest. Congressman Steve Shabbat is the U.S. Representative from the 1st District of Ohio. He's the ranking member of the Small Business Committee. And Congressman, the immigration bill, there's some paperwork that would be required, some steps that would be required for all businesses, including small businesses, that I worry will be very onerous on small businesses. What am I wrong about that?
No, you're exactly right. And again, this is likely to change as the bill gets amended in the House and the Senate. But in general, for your listeners, what would be required when anybody's going to hire anybody, and that would be whether the person is clearly an American citizen.
If it was your brother or sister,
sure,
you'd have to do
absolutely.
This.
It's going to affect everybody. It's a new bureaucratic, burdensome process that every person that hires anybody is going to have to go through, filling out forms, reporting to the government, getting identification information, et cetera. And if you mess up, even if you do it in good faith, there are possibilities that you might be subject to fines and perhaps even criminal ramifications.
That's enough of a reason for me to be against this bill, I'll tell you that.
That's right. And but we want people to hire people. We wanted to make it easier to hire people, although we obviously do want people not hiring illegals. We want them hiring American citizens. But this
the bottom line here, Congressman, the bottom line is our government wasn't capable of securing our border, so they let all these people in. And so as a reaction to that, the government is going to make it more onerous to do business for small business.
That's exactly right. And as a matter of fact, on the debate on the floor in the House on a bill very similar to this about a year ago, that was the point that I made, that the government hasn't been able to do what it needs to do, so it's turning this burden, putting it on the backs of business owners, especially
right.
small businesses, because, as we all know, those are the growing businesses in our economy.
Absolutely.
Those are the people that are hiring new people.
And the least likely to have to be able to take care of all this extra paperwork. But, Congressman, this is a debate that's ongoing, and you'll be coming back again to keep us posted, and we appreciate that very much. There's some other things that you're working on right now. Tell us about those.
Yeah, there's a number of things. We're continuing to work on liability reform, for example. Businesses, especially small businesses, still seem to be targeted by frivolous lawsuits.
Right.
The most recent example that's been in the news lately is this one that's happening where I'm at right now here in Washington, D.C., where a lawyer, in fact, the guy's a judge, took some pants into the dry cleaner.
We all know about that one. Yeah.
They unfortunately lost the pants, and he sues them not for the cost of the pants, or not a little of his inconvenience, but for $67 million for a lost pair of pants.
That's
and it's
a travesty.
Isn't
somebody,
it?
Some judge should put him in jail for about 30 days. Let him think about it.
It's absolutely incredible. And who knows now, but these little you got a small business owner. They're actually Korean Americans, people who came here perfectly legally,
hardworking
have
people,
a business, hardworking people, and they're being sued by this lawyer, by this judge, for $67 million. Now, they've actually dropped it down now, so now it's a little more reasonable. Now, they're only being sued for $54 million.
Oh, is that right?
Oh,
well,
yeah.
That's great, isn't it? Well, how stupid that is. I hope somebody throws that out and puts him in jail, and I hope it turns out that it gets this little dry cleaning company a lot more business. But
that's right.
Hopefully, the level of ridiculousness of this thing will show up. What about Sarbanes-Oxley? You're working on that too, aren't you?
Yeah, Sarbanes-Oxley.
We've got to reform this, Congressman.
Yeah, well, the intentions were such it was a response to Enron and some of
a knee jerk. It wasn't a response, sir.
Yeah, pardon me.
It was a knee jerk. It wasn't a response.
It was a knee jerk. That's right. It happened pretty quickly, and it has. So the intentions were good to some degree, and it has had some impact on making sure when people invest money that they're not getting ripped off. But what was not the unintended consequences were the impact that it's had on small businesses in this country. The compliance cost, how much it costs for the little guy to comply with Sarbanes-Oxley, it's disproportionate to what the big guys. They have an attorney on staff or many attorneys on staff. The little guy has to go out and hire one, and it's soaking up. You know how the margin of profit can be so narrow to a small business owner.
If there is profit.
Right, if there is, that's right. And now that profit may well be soaked up by going to an expensive accountant or attorney just to comply with Sarbanes-Oxley.
And the cost of audits, folks, even if you don't have to comply with Sarbanes-Oxley, if you're smart enough that you don't have to comply with Sarbanes-Oxley, but you still have to get an audit, the cost of that audit has gone up significantly. You may have to comply with some elements of Sarbanes-Oxley because you do business with big companies. And if you're an emerging company, you're growing and you want to go public, Sarbanes-Oxley may put off the attractiveness of going public maybe for 2 or 3 years or maybe even forever.
Yes, that's exactly right. So fewer companies, and we had a hearing on this within the past couple of weeks in the Small Business Committee, fewer businesses now are actually going public. So it's actually
right.
just the opposite effect in that respect.
And those who are, many of them are going to foreign markets to do it.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And unfortunately,
can we repeal Sarbanes-Oxley? Will that ever happen?
I don't see a repeal. What I see is a change in the guidelines, probably at best, that will make it make more sense and do away with this one-size-fits-all government approach.
Well, it's what happens when the government, all due respect, sir, as you know this too, is what happens when the government starts getting involved in marketplace issues, and it's way over it's way over the government's pay grade, I think. Congressman Shabbat, thank you for being here. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to you and your fathers out there that are listening, Jim.
Congressman Steve Shabbat, ladies and gentlemen, a great American. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. It's 29 after. Happy Father's Day.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.